Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today we are going to address the question, why does God allow evil? You know, there are several reasons as to why. First, evil exists in this world because Satan is the god of this world, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 states. And Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly."
That's such a good point, Bill. You know, and so many don't even acknowledge there's a demonic realm, that there are demons working, Satan working in the world. They don't even believe in him.
No.
Right? And Jesus told us where much of the evil comes from. The killing, stealing, or destroying is not from God, but from Satan, as you said. And Satan is free to promote his evil across the globe since he is the god of this world. God gave the earth and the authority of it over to Adam. And Adam then gave it over to Satan. This was a result of Adam believing what Satan said instead of what God said and what God commanded. When a terrible tragedy occurs, like a natural disaster or storm or a loved one dying from a disease, many people will blame God when he had nothing to do with it. There are many more reasons why the evil occurs, as we will see today.
That's right. You know, second reason, many of God's people don't pray. You know, if God is going to get involved, he requires that his people pray. As 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So that's very clear. 1 Kings 8:35 says, "When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk and give them rain upon the land." And this is also in Deuteronomy 11:17. 28:24 and 2 Samuel 1:21. So Jesus told us to pray also in the Lord's Prayer. You know, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Why tell us to pray for his will to be done if it's automatically done? If we don't pray, then his will is not done and God doesn't get involved.
That's such a good point, Bill. You know, and so many times as Christians, we underpray. Right? We're
right.
Not really praying for everything that's going on or the things God lays on our heart or for our loved ones' salvations or things we underpray.
Right.
You know,
all the time.
And it's so true when you read, you know, about in 2 Chronicles 7, I mean, it says, "My people pray."
Right.
So this is all to the church.
Right. If the church prays, then God will heal the land. So
look at the land. It's not it's too good a shape.
No. And I like this 1 Kings 8:35 that we read.
Gee.
You know, if we pray and confess our sin and repent, then he'll give rain. So, you know, rain is a blessing from God. And these scriptures point that out.
Absolutely. You know, and now we know that on a larger scale, God is in control as he sets up kings and removes them as he pleases in Daniel 2:21 states that. However, he still instructs us to pray for our leaders and vote correctly. That's a big one.
Right.
And to pray against storms. You know, we need to pray that things will be averted.
Right.
And Jesus rebuked the storm, and we are told that we would do the same works that he did in John 14:12. Can we pray protection around our home and around our family? Absolutely. You know, could we be missing something and experience evil that God would rather we be delivered from? Yes, we can.
That's right.
And it might be just simply getting out of the storm's way.
That's right.
Yes. And also praying over our homes, even if we leave our home, and ask God to spare them.
Right. He said there'll be a canopy of protection by day and night over our dwelling place. We have to believe that.
Yeah, that's Isaiah 4:5.
Right. You know, Satan brought about the storm Jesus experienced on the Sea of Galilee. Satan also brought a great wind and fire down on Job's family. Then in Revelation 12, midway through the tribulation, Satan will bring a flood to the Jewish remnant fleeing to Petra to escape the Antichrist. So we see Satan can use the weather. You know, that's
pretty
clear.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, number three. Now, for the most part, the disaster, storms, flooding, and earthquakes are a result of the overwhelming sin in the earth. The earth responds in a negative way regarding the sin committed by man. There are many verses that show us that each time man sins, it affects the earth. Here's just a few.
Yes, that's true. Psalm 68:6 says, "But the rebellious dwell in a dry land." If a nation rebels against God, they won't have rain or water in their land. There are many verses to support this. And Psalm 67:5 says, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." So no praise, no food.
That's right.
1 Chronicles 16:30, "Fear before him, all the earth, and the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved." So no fear of God brings earthquakes. So that's an interesting verse, right?
Exactly.
And then we also know, as a side note with the weather today, there's geoengineering and cloud seeding, and man is manipulating the weather. That is not conspiracy theory. You can research that.
Right.
But that's also affecting the earth today.
Isaiah 24:5-6 says, "The earth also is defiled under its inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." That's an interesting verse.
Is that talking about the end times?
That's partially talking about the end times, but the earth is now under a curse.
Yes.
You know.
And we know the earth will be burned up. That is true.
Right.
Before Jesus comes back, right?
Right, right. Then one more verse there. Leviticus 20:22 says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out." So breaking God's laws can bring a flood and drive the people out of the land.
That's a good point.
You know, these are interesting verses.
They are. You know, and we have to heed them. The Word of God should be our authority, right?
Yes.
As believers. So number four, another reason God allows evil to occur is because humans have a free will. And people are selfish and sinful by nature, and they choose to harm one another. I mean, we see this daily in the headlines, Bill.
Yes.
You know? In Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil," Matthew 15:19, Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." So God has given each of us a free will, and with that free will comes responsibility and accountability to our Creator. Mankind chooses overall, and as we know, most are not believers, most in the world do not fear God, and they choose to reject God and therefore harm one another with acts of violence, hatred, greed, envy, and the like. In addition, through the creation of unjust laws, corrupt leaders can carry out their evil.
That's right.
Which we are at an all-time high in our lifetimes right now.
Right now, for sure. Another reason, this is the fifth reason, is that there is a law of sowing and reaping, as Galatians 6:7 says. There is also a law of sin and death, as Romans 8:2 states. Now, these laws operate automatically without God having to do a thing, just like the law of gravity operates automatically. So, for instance, Proverbs 13:20 says, "Evil pursues sinners." So, a land that's sinning a lot of evil, evil will pursue it. Evil
yes,
will come
that's
after
true.
Psalms 140:11 says, "Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him." That's an interesting verse. Evil is attracted to sin just like metal is to a magnet. Evil will occur in a land filled with sin. Now, weather can be a result of demonic activity too, man's manipulation of it, as you said, or the earth simply reacts to the abundance of sin. Then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So sin brings forth death, and an individual sin will eventually result in death.
Yeah, that's really good points. You know, I think people don't think about the law of sowing and reaping that much. know, and there's a law of sin and death operating. I don't think they look at some of these things as spiritual laws that God set up, as well as natural laws that are operating.
Right. Automatically, they're operating. So.
And mankind is violating them, you know. And exactly. Then it opens the door. Like when you have an ungodly leader over a nation, it's opening the door to all this sin being now, you know, reaped from these evil laws,
right.
The things that have been done against children and so forth.
Right.
And then number six, another reason a person may experience a sudden or painful death is because they have been living or practicing a lifestyle of sin. And this is only one possibility and doesn't mean that all sickness is a result of sin, but this is only in some instances as the scripture gives us a glimpse. Jesus said in John 5:14, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. So this was the man at the pool of Bethesda who had an infirmity for 38 years.
Right.
And then in 1 Corinthians, Bill, 1 Corinthians 5:5, it says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
That's right. This is the man having physical relations with his father's wife. Now, Satan is responsible for the destruction to the person's flesh in hopes that they will repent and get saved before dying. And this is similar to what it says in Job 33. You know, demons hate people, and if we are living in sin, then our hedge of protection is broken and open to their attack, to the demonic attack. You know, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, whoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. We can break our own hedge, and then devil can attack us.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, and just to give one example of disobedience that results in a negative way, Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So if we don't honor our parents, there's a consequence. It will not go well with us and our life can be cut short.
That's right. You know, Satan does shoot fiery darts at us, as Ephesians 6:16 states. We need to have our armor on, as Ephesians 6 states. You know, many do not even know what our spiritual armor consists of, much less have it on. And many Christians do not realize we are in a spiritual war, and we must wear our armor daily or we will get hit. The fact is, they don't put it on.
That's true. And here are a few verses, Bill, telling us what the enemy does. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, and he walks about seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
So notice whom he may devour. Notice he can't devour everyone.
Right.
And 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So notice Jesus came to destroy the devil's works, not to add to them.
Right.
And Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. So we can, as you said, Bill, open the door or give place to him in our lives.
Right. Luke 13:16, Jesus said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Satan was the cause of the sickness, but she had a legal right to be set free because she belonged to God's family. She was the daughter of Abraham, and so are we if we're born-again Christians. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Again, the devil was the cause of the sickness, and Jesus brought what was good, the healing.
So, Bill, we can see by these scriptures that Satan causes much of the evil, and that through either ignorance or disobedience, we can give him a place in our lives.
That's right.
Right? And now, you know, number seven. Okay, so now there are occasions where God removes his hand of protection, and then the enemy comes in and causes the destruction.
Right.
So this is such the case as with Job. You know, Satan brought the evil, but God did allow it and dictated the limits for Satan. However, this is a very unique case and not to be followed as a typical scenario.
Right, exactly.
You know, many times God allowed Israel to be conquered by their enemies because of their continual rebellion against him. So God can and does use weather at times to get our attention. He shut up the heavens from raining on occasions because of their sin. In addition, some natural disasters in our country seem to coincide with the times that our government leaders pressure Israel to give up some portion of its land. So God does control or influence nature in some circumstances, but also, you know, God's hand of protection is removed because of our actions, our sin.
Exactly. In Matthew 7, Jesus mentioned that the storms of life will happen to everyone, but those who obey the word of God will stand and come through the storms of life. Because they are a doer of God's word, they will not be destroyed. You know, difficult trials or storms of life can even destroy a Christian who is not doing what God commands us to do. You know, if we live according to God's word, he promises us that we shall not be visited with evil. He promises that. You know, listen to these few verses. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." That's wonderful. Proverbs 12:21, "There shall no evil happen to the just." Psalms 91:10, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." That's a great verse. Job 5:19, "There shall no evil touch thee." And Ecclesiastes 8:5, "Whoever keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing."
I love that.
I mean, those are great promises.
Those are. They're so important to take some of those and pray them each day and thank the Lord for that. And this is just out of a place of humility, thanking God for his promises and his mercy on us and
That's
what
right.
these verses say. You know, but as you know, Bill, and you would agree, this doesn't mean that we will never have problems,
right.
challenges, or trials. Because number one, none of us is perfect, and we do have an enemy that's looking for ways to afflict us, and we live in a curse-filled, fallen world, and we're subject to people, you know,
right.
that can harm people.
Right.
So a lot of times our problems are coming from a person that the enemy is using and working through.
Right.
He's not always just directly hitting us, but he works through people.
That's right. You know, and then number eight, another reason we experience evil is because of being under an ungodly leader, like you mentioned a little bit earlier. You know, when David sinned against God, 70,000 people suffered the consequences and were killed for it, and that's in 2 Samuel 24:15. Now, I know that it is Old Testament, but that doesn't mean God is now restricted from allowing the same to happen today. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." In Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So he's the same God.
He's the same God, yes, and we are definitely, our nation has suffered from ungodly leaders, which a lot of so-called Christians have voted for.
Right.
And they might be Christians, but they're deceived in that area.
Exactly.
So anyways, number nine, I won't go there. Number nine, another reason for individual loss is that many Christians do not tithe. And God said he will rebuke the devourer for our sakes if we tithe and give offerings. And that's in Malachi 3:10-11. So the devourer can steal a person's money, protection, or health, and this can be an open door for those who don't tithe.
Right. That's a whole nother topic. Some people just don't believe it's tithing is for the New Testament, but that's not true.
Jesus talks about it in Matthew 23:23 and
right. Luke 11:42 and Hebrews 7 mentions it. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. So another reason, number 10, another reason we can suffer is because of our lack of support and rejoicing over Israel. Isaiah 66:10 and verse 14 says, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, that you may feed and be satisfied, and your bones shall flourish like grass." So healthy bones, a result of us rejoicing and standing for Israel. I think that's interesting. Genesis 12:3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you," talking about Israel.
That's really clear.
Right. Psalms 122:6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." So we will prosper if we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So from the scripture, we see blessings and curses mentioned depending on how we treat the nation of Israel.
That's so true. And we got to really be careful where we're getting our news, because there's so much propaganda out there on the mainstream media against Israel. So if we're siding with that and we're listening to that, and that's where we think mm-hmm. we're getting our facts, We have a problem.
Right.
And we're actually going against God and his word, and right. we can suffer consequences just from that.
Just from that.
So number 11, another reason. So that now we're going to talk about as for the unbelievers, okay? If there's someone out there, they don't even know God, they don't know Jesus Christ, haven't received him as Lord and Savior and repented of their sin, they have no protection unless a Christian is praying for them. That's why prayer for our loved ones and friends and neighbors and family is so important. These two verses, Psalm 91:11, tell us that God's angels protect those who fear him and stay in fellowship with him. However, in his mercy, God still watches over people and prevents the devil from taking many people's lives in order to give them more time to repent.
Right, right. Because there is a verse, this is interesting, just a little side note, but 1 Timothy 4:10 says, who is the Savior of all men? Jesus Christ, right? The Believer's Bible Commentary says, page 2093, we might say that he is the potential Savior of all men and the actual Savior of those who believe. God is the Savior of all men in the sense that he preserves them in the daily providences of life. So God is so merciful, even if you're unsaved, he is preserving, he's watching over you to a degree to give you time to repent and get saved.
Yes.
That's what that verse is saying. So,
and especially if there's someone praying for that person.
Right, exactly. So that's God's mercy. But his angels are actually encamped about those that fear him. And you have to be saved to fear him. You know, truly. So
that's good.
You know, so we are simply attempting to show the many different ways evil occurs or blessings come by examining the Bible. You know, there is not one simple answer, but this variety of scriptures should now open our eyes to further understand that the evil that occurs is not God's fault.
Yes, that's so true, Bill. And the Bible tells us that God is always ready to show mercy, and his desire is for all people to come to him. He shields many from evil and destruction in his great mercy and long-suffering. But blaming God for his lack of intervention when a tragedy occurs shows our ignorance of God's word and our irreverence by falsely accusing him.
That's right. You know, we should always first examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith or not, and compare ourselves to the scriptures. Are we obeying God's word? And this is not an exhaustive list that we've given, but these are some of the reasons why evil occurs. But the bottom line is, God is not to blame.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.